You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday, always presented by DraftKings. Of course, if you're going to bet on the NFL draft or NBA or NHL, whatever, please just make sure you use the code Ross over at DraftKings. Love those dudes. Thank goodness for them. They help keep the show going, just like thank goodness for all of you that keep the show going. Can't tell you how much I appreciate those of you that spread the word via social media. How about a shout out to Sawdin Bahanjik? I saw your Instagram comment. You're the winner of the week, Sawdin. The sponsor confirmation email winner, Derek Sindelar. He ordered Emery's draft guide. And then the YouTube shout out, which is, I love doing a fun cameo style video for you, John Elliott. He said that he loved the fantasy feast on YouTube. So you never know when I'm going to give out the winners. There you go. We're all winners today because we got Greg Cosell for a Wisdom Wednesday talking D-line momentarily. We also have an epic happy hour tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Tonight, Wednesday, April 24th, Tuckheads only. Patreon.com/RTMedia. Become a Tuckheads member. I'm going to post the Zoom link later on this evening before the happy hour. Going to be so much fun. Hopefully as many of you can join as possible. Patreon.com/RTMedia. Would love to meet you. Would love to hear more about you. Would love to answer whatever question that you have. It's big show time.
The big show.
Okay, Greg, last but certainly not least, let's dive into the defensive line, which I think is probably the second most important position in the sport after quarterback. Some people think offensive line, which obviously I love as a former offensive lineman, but I think defensive line, and in particular, I think defensive tackle, extremely important in today's NFL. But the higher ranked guys that are going to go higher in the draft appear to be the edge guys. Although interesting, a lot of people talking like there might not even be any defensive guys to go off the board in the top 10 to top 12 picks. Out of the edge guys, Greg, Latu from UCLA, Jared Verse, Florida State, Dallas Turner, Bama, Chop Robinson, Penn State. Was there a guy that really jumped out to you as perhaps being the best one or the most interesting one?
Yeah, I mean, as is always the case with players at the same position, which, as you know, Ross, why I don't like making lists, they're all different. But I really liked Latu's tape a lot. And again, he may not even be on teams' draft boards because of the medical. People might not know that he did not play for 2 years. He had hurt his neck when he was at the University of Washington. They would not clear him. And then he went to UCLA where he did get cleared by a high-level doctors, and he's played the last 2 years. I think he easily has the most tools in his toolbox as a pass rusher, and which is very surprising for a lot of college players. He's very refined. He knows how to use his hands. He's long. When I watch players, I normally think in two ways, Ross, and I know people love comparisons. I think in terms of when a player came out of college, because sometimes a player comes out of college and is a good prospect, but then he becomes a great player in the NFL. Or sometimes I see a player in the NFL that he reminds me of. And the player Latu reminded me of when this player came out of college was T.J. Watt. I think because Watt was not a 20-sack guy at Wisconsin. In fact, he did not have a ton of sacks in college. And obviously, you could argue he's easily a top three pass rusher in the league right now. But Latu is long. He's athletic. And there's a lot to his game. He understands how to rush the quarterback.
That was amazing, Greg. Do you realize what you just did? You said there's a lot to his game. Latu. There's a lot to his game. That is, I'm using that
okay.
The next 36 hours a lot, even after he gets drafted. Listen, the thing I like about him is there's a lot to his game. That is funny, Greg. Nice. You didn't even do that on purpose, right?
No, I didn't actually.
That was incredible.
And then, all right. Well, I hope about some of the other guys here. I mean, Verse is a power player. Verse is incredibly strong, and he's best with his hand in the ground in a three-point stance. One thing I noticed watching him is when he was in a two-point stance standing up, he had false steps rushing the quarterback. I think he's a pure D-end with his hand in the ground. He had no false steps. He was devastatingly explosive off the ball. First step explosiveness. I looked at Verse as a much better version, let's say, of Kayvon Thibodeau. Both guys are power players. They're not necessarily pure benders. They can bend somewhat, but they're at their core power players. But Verse is really, really strong, tremendous contact strength. When he hits offensive tackles, he jars them. There are examples where he just shocks them. So his game is about power.
So that's interesting because, you know, you don't see him, you know, projected to go in the top 10 by anyone, and yet you call him a much better version of Kayvon Thibodeau, who was like the fifth pick or something.
Yeah, it's
just
a function of a draft and where the league's going. The league, I'm at the combine. Everybody talks now about explosive plays on offense. This is a quarterback draft. It's a wide receiver draft. It's possible 8 of the first 10 players drafted could be quarterbacks and wide receivers. Obviously, we don't know that, but it could well be the case. And you started out by saying we might not see a defensive player drafted in the first 12. That's very, very possible. I think it's just this particular draft and where the league is going. But that's not relevant in terms of evaluating players.
So I did, Greg, the Ole Miss-Alabama game. So I got a chance to watch both defensive ends for Alabama. And it's interesting because Dallas Turner's a really impressive player and really explosive. But I was also really impressed with Braswell. You know, Braswell, to me, looked like a pro.
Yeah.
Just the way he went about it. Physical, tough, hustle. Like, Braswell, I'd be surprised if he's not, at a minimum, you know, a rotational DN for someone. I think he ends up becoming a solid starter in the NFL. I think he actually has more ability than he gets credit for. I think maybe Turner's, you know, off the charts testing numbers kind of overshadowed Braswell a little bit. But, man, I was impressed with Braswell when I watched the tape. Talk to me about the two Alabama guys, one at a time.
Well, Turner is obviously, as you said, he's the longer, more explosive-looking athlete. He's the one who jumps off the film because of the way in which he moves, the kinds of plays he can make, no question. He's someone teams will look at that if he can reach his ceiling, could be one of those true edge pass rushers that you think of getting 15, 16 sacks every year just because the talent level, the physical athletic traits are there. I love what you said about Braswell because I agree with you. Braswell is kind of a lowercase Verse. His game is built on power. And, you know, I'm going to give you another comp here because, as I said, these just pop into my head. He weighs a few pounds less, but you know who he reminded me of when this player came out of college? And this player that I'm going to mention was not a high pick. And he's turned into a really good pass rusher. But when he came out of college, he was not a Power 5 player at all. Braswell reminded me of Matt Judon coming out of college. And Matt Judon came out of Grand Valley State. He was a fifth-round pick, as I said, a little bigger. And Judon has obviously developed. He was hurt this year and developed into a real quality pass rusher. I could see Braswell's career following that course. I agree with you. He could start out being kind of a rotational player, and then all of a sudden, 2-3 years down the road, you go, wow, that Braswell guy's really good.
Yeah, I liked him quite a bit. You know, when you're prepping for a game, I had seen Dallas Turner on all the mock drafts, you know, before the season and the top 5 ranking and all that stuff. And it seemed like Braswell was more of like an afterthought. I was like, who's this 41? He's good. Yeah, I mean, he can really play.
And normally, Ross, power translates. You know, normally the guys who are powerful players, that translates to the league. Sometimes the really good athletes, you know, sometimes because their game is built so much on movement. And, you know, sometimes those guys can sort of be neutralized at times. But normally, nothing's 100%, and that's why it's still human beings evaluating human beings. But normally, power translates.
And I would say, from an offensive lineman standpoint, Greg, it's I don't want to say it's easy to block guys that don't have power, but when you go against a guy that has power, it changes the way you have to set on him. So you know, if a guy doesn't really display power, you can really you don't have to be as worried about your anchor. You can kind of slide and be a little bit more upright and a little bit more of an athletic position. If you're worried about a guy's power and they threaten you with power, and power is a big part of your game, you're almost always, Greg, if this makes sense, even though you're moving your feet, whatever, you're very conscious of being ready to brace for impact and setting your feet and taking him on.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. I didn't mind going against guys. Everything was lateral, everything athletic, because you can just kind of mirror them, right? But the guys that can come with that power, and you always have to be aware of it, it's like if a guy has really great speed, you're always conscious of that, and maybe you overset more than you should. If a guy has really good power, you're always conscious of that. And it changes your ability to move as fluidly as you want, because you're constantly aware of the threat of this guy can come right out. And you want to set him flatter because you don't want to let him get the speed to power. So you almost have to set him differently, because you know if he's got power, you don't want to give him an 8-yard runny at you.
Well, it's funny you say that, because as you were telling that story, it reminded me of being last summer at the O-line Masterminds with Duke Mannyweather and his group down in Texas. And I know you know those guys. And every offensive tackle that was there, the first thing they said, you, if a guy is a really good speed-to-power pass rusher, that changes the way you set. And then there was Andrew Whitworth, who played for 20 years in the league, and I remember him saying that all these guys that are sort of athletic guys that kind of dance, you know, and try to beat you that way, he said, eventually they've got to come to you. You just have to wait for them. He said, eventually they've got to come to you because they got to get past you. So it's the speed to power guys that are more concerning.
And even if they don't get a sack, they are compressing the pocket.
Right.
They're you know, they can affect a quarterback without getting a sack, just by knocking you back a little bit. I definitely want to get to Chop Robinson, Greg. You know, I've met Chop.
Yeah.
You know, I watch a bunch of Penn State football. He's a really interesting guy, because he'll do a couple plays a game where you're like, holy crap. Like, he looks like Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't do it a lot. And for whatever reason, his pressure to sack ratio, because it feels like he gets in there a lot. It just didn't feel like he sealed the deal that much.
Yeah, and that's why you have to watch his tape, because you have to find the context, because he does create a lot of pressure. I remember watching the Ohio State game this year on tape, and I think on the first 6 pass attempts, he beat the right tackle so quickly off the edge, but the ball was out, so he didn't get either a hit or a sack. But he is the most explosive of all these guys. Now, he needs more to his game, Ross. And I love your Micah Parsons comp, because, again, it's not an apples to apples. We're not saying he's Micah Parsons, but you know as well as I do, Parsons was not viewed as what he's become when he came out of Penn State. Robinson is a guy I think you can move around like that. I think you can look for matchups. He's such an explosive athlete. He'll start his career as a sub-defense player. He needs work in the run game, but you are talking about a really explosive athlete.
You know what's really interesting, Greg, and I just thought of this. I think we forget the fact that Micah was an off-the-ball linebacker at Penn State.
Correct.
I mean, it makes what – now, I saw him have like 5 sacks a game in high school, but it makes what he's done in the NFL even more impressive, because he didn't even do it at the college level, and he only played 2 years of college.
Well, it's interesting because he was recruited by a lot of schools as a pass-rushing D-end coming out of high school, as you probably know, because I know you do that kind of work.
Oh, yeah, that's what he played. I mean, best high school pass rusher I've ever seen. Best beer I've ever seen, Greg, is Labatt Blue Light. It's what I like to drink when I'm watching the draft tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday, going to be a bunch of Labatt Blue Lights for me, living life to the power of we, always enjoying it responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Let's get to the inside guys, Greg. Feel like there's growing buzz over the last week or so about Byron Murphy from Texas. Now, you know, people are talking about him potentially even being the first defensive player off the board, top 20. You know, he's got that body type, Greg, 6'1", 300, and explosive. What did you see from him?
Yeah, I love Byron Murphy's tape. Loved it. I think he's the best interior player in this draft. Again, I don't know where he'll get drafted. I've heard the same buzz you have. He is a freaky athlete for that size, that kind of body type. You know, there have been a lot of players as you go back years with that kind of body type who've been really, really good inside. Shoot, you can go back to John Randall, who's in the Hall of Fame. You go back to someone like Geno Atkins. You know, players playing now would be the Grady Jarrett types. You know, these guys who are sort of short, stout. But this kid Murphy is so explosive. I mean, his lower body strength and his pure explosion, I think he's clearly the best defensive tackle prospect in this draft.
You know, he's a little bit thicker than these guys, but man, some of the guys, Bryant Young, Leroy Glover, hated going against those guys. Now, he's a little bit more powerful and thicker. Those guys were a little bit more explosive and technique guys, but man, I've seen some plays where Byron Murphy's getting double teamed and he keeps his balance, sheds him, and makes the play. It's crazy impressive. Wait, while we're on the Texas guys, Greg, what do you think of the other guy?
Sweat.
Tavondre Sweat. Because, you know, I feel like there's one of these guys every year, like the 365-pound guy who it's like, okay, he's good against the run, but he has weight issues. What's he going to become? Obviously, you know, we talk about Jordan Davis a lot as it relates to the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, he's not, Tavondre Sweat is not Jordan Davis, but they're both huge, huge men that I think there's a debate every year regarding the value that they provide.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Sweat had, I think, a DUI a couple of weeks ago, so that could impact his draft status, and he certainly wasn't going to be a top 15 pick anyway. But I personally think his college tape is far better than Jordan Davis's was. He's a lighter foot athlete than Jordan Davis. You watch Sweat and you see him make plays down the line of scrimmage. You see him rush the quarterback. He's got really light athletic feet for a man that size. Now, I'm sure any team that drafts him will want him to lose some weight. He was 366 at the combine, not likely to play at 366. He'll probably play in the 340 range, but he is athletic. He can move laterally. He's got that kind of juice to him. He's not just a straight line guy. And of course, because he is so big, he is difficult to move one-on-one in the run game. But there's more to his game than that.
You know, there's a guy I wanted to make sure I asked you about as well. And that's Darius Robinson. Because what's interesting about him, Greg, is people have sort of differing opinions on what he is. He's got that 6'5", 286-pound body type, almost like a Cam Jordan body type. Is he an inside guy? Is he an outside guy? Is he a 3-4 DN, 5 technique, 4-I? What is he, Greg?
Well, it's funny you say that because he'd be like that old school strong side DN in a 4-3, you know, those under-over fronts where you have a strong side DN that lines up over the tight end, you know, back 20 years ago. But he has really, his power capacity and his ability to lock out with his arm length is really good. I mean, he's a big, big man. I don't think he's quite as juicy as Cam Jordan was when Cam Jordan came out. But this guy, he can play DN. Now with all the five-man fronts, he can move in and sort of play that 4-I position. I think he'll get better as a pass rusher the more he plays in the league. The player he kind of reminded me of in terms of deployment, and this player I'm going to mention was undrafted, but he's become a really good player, and he just signed a really good deal with the Houston Texans, is DeNico Autry, a player who can play D-end in your base defense and then move inside and be a very effective interior pass rusher in your sub-fronts. I really like Darius Robinson. And again, the power in his game and the hand and arm strength, that translates to the league.
Last guy I got to get your thoughts on because I called a couple of his games in college. Braden Fisk from Florida State. I called his games when he was at Western Michigan. Greg,
yeah.
Your thoughts on Fisk?
I loved watching Fisk. He plays every single snap as if it's the last snap he's ever going to play. But this guy is really a good athlete. I mean, this guy, you know, the thing that'll be a knock on him, and it does have merit, is he has very, very short arms. But I thought he used them effectively. He understood how to use them, even though they're short. Now, that is a factor, but he did keep his body clean. He created space for himself. I think he's a three technique. I think he's got the athleticism and the movement to be a three technique, but he also showed the ability to two gap, but that might be tougher with the short arms in the NFL. But, I mean, this guy has that confined space and short stroke strength to initiate and then play off contact. I really liked his game a lot. I could see this guy really being a solid player in the NFL.
Well, I like your game, Greg. Thank you so much for everything during the pre-draft process. Really looking forward to breaking down these picks with you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ross.
Gosh, Greg is good. Just like the Game Time app. It's like the Game Time app's time to shine. So glad that they're advertising again right now. You know why? We got NBA playoffs. Like, I could go to the Sixers game tomorrow night. I'm not doing that because it's the NFL draft tomorrow night, but I could via the Game Time app. Or what about just any of the other things we got going on? The NFL draft, NHL playoffs, baseball. You should see how inexpensive some of the baseball tickets are. It's ridiculous. You can get in, Jack, to the Sixers game tomorrow for $85. I am really surprised by that. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've always sort of been that price. I'm not too surprised.
Wow, I don't know. I guess I just thought playoff game, first home playoff game against the Knicks. A little bit surprised by that. Anyway, take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code ROSS for $20 off your first purchase. You know they got the last-minute deals, the lowest price guarantee, the views from your seat. Terms apply. So again, create an account, redeem code ROSS for $20 off. Download Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Tuck's Takes.
All right, Ross, the Chiefs, they signed extensions through 2029 with President Mark Donovan, General Manager Brett Veach, and Head Coach Andy Reid.
Man, that sounds like a long time. Congratulations to those guys. They obviously deserve it. Back-to-back Super Bowls, three out of what, the last 5 or 6 years. They all deserve it. That's unbelievably hard to do in the NFL. Kudos to them. And they got paid. Yeah, but it's rare to have that type of length in a contract in the NFL.
Trade that changed the league forever. Broncos, they swap late picks with the Jets for quarterback Zach Wilson, and they will split his salary.
Dude, Jack, I feel like I kind of called that. I mean, Monday, we're talking about the meaty Monday from Good Ranchers, and I said, nobody really wants Zach Wilson. You're going to have to, like, give up a pick like the Jets did, and they're not going to get the whole $5.4 million fully guaranteed. Jets are paying half of it. Now, the Jets at least did move up a little bit from, like, pick 250 to pick 200, but they basically, like, did nothing just to get Zach Wilson off the roster. I mean, they're paying Zach Wilson $2.75 million this year to go away.
All right, Rostradamus, you did not predict these roster moves. Commanders, they released defensive end Shaka Toney. Broncos signed cornerback Levi Wallace. Bengals give backup quarterback Jake Browning a 2-year deal. And the NFL reinstates cornerback Isaiah Rodgers, who is suspended a year for gambling.
I'm intrigued by Isaiah Rodgers because he played pretty well in 2022. I did one or two of his games at UMass. He's an awesome kick returner, which is perfect timing for the Eagles. And then Jake Browning's a good backup, so that's nice for the Bengals to have that locked up. Levi Wallace, solid. And then Shaka Toney was one of the guys that got suspended for a year for betting.
And the investigation to potential tampering by the Eagles and Falcons during free agency this year is ongoing and will not conclude this week prior to the draft.
Which means any loss of draft pick will be 2025. You know, I'll have more to say about this if and when they're actually punished. I would just say there's so much tampering that goes on. It's kind of comical. I guess you just can't, like, say it out loud or be blatant about it, and then you won't get busted. Be curious to see how the NFL ends up litigating that. Other than that, patreon.com/RT Media. Happy hour, baby. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. Man, Mother's Day, a couple weeks away. By far the best gift I've ever heard of for Mother's Day is MyFrontPageStory.com. Can't highly recommend it enough. BackOfficeScheduler.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sporticulture, Pizza Boy Brewing.